And we'll read from verse 1 down to verse 15. Ezekiel 34, reading from the first verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock is become a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And turning back to Psalm 23, and I will read the first two verses. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And last week, if you were here, our second week in this psalm, we finished the first verse, the verse which tells us right at the outset, the great statement, the Lord is our shepherd, that wonderful truth, which we considered on our first week. But then, as we saw last week, it goes on to speak in a general overarching sense of the effect of the Lord being our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will lack nothing. All that I need, he shall provide. He is the great shepherd. He is the perfect shepherd, and because he is great and he is perfect, therefore this is so. I shall lack nothing. And we thought last week, seeking that to apply that to us spiritually, didn't we? He meets our greatest need, the need of our being saved from our spiritual enemies. Sin, the world, death, the devil. The Lord of God, of course, is against us, isn't it? But the Good Shepherd, he saves us from that as well. He meets our needs in terms of salvation. That of sanctification, we touched on that also. He brings us holiness. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And then we ended by thinking of how he brings us to glory. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now what follows in the psalm, indeed all of the psalm really, from this point, is an expansion of that. The details of it, if you like. All the things that we shall not want, because the Lord, our good shepherd, provides them for us. And we begin, perhaps, with what we would expect to begin with. Two very basic things that the sheep would not wish to be in lack of. First one, grazing ground, which of course is food, and then of course drink for the flock. And our text this evening, we're just going to take the first part of the second verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and next week, God willing, we'll come to think about the drink aspect. He leadeth me beside the still waters. But for this evening, this wonderful truth is one of the needs that is met by him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And if you have the margin, you will see there an alternative rendering of that. He maketh me to lie down in pastures of tender grass. And so we are told here that we are most wonderfully, expertly, and I think we can surely say lovingly supplied and provided for. I shall not want, because he maketh me to lie down in these green pastures. So let's come to seek to open that up a little this evening. Four things which I would bring to us. First, let's think about the pastures themselves. And the first thing, note the plural. Not just one, is it? Not just a single pasture, but pastures. There seem to be an abundance of them. We can perhaps almost view them. That wherever David is standing, looks on his right, looks on his left, looks behind, wherever he looks, there is pasture all around. The Lord, who is his shepherd, has brought him to that abundant place. And perhaps we could picture also the flock being led into those luscious places. Before, maybe, they were in barren ground, certainly less verdant ground. But at the point where the shepherd brings them, leads them into the pastures, you can almost see the sheep smiling, as it were. It's now a happy flock. They're not going to want for feeding. That's clear to them as they arrive in the green pastures. And this is so true for all of the Lord Jesus' sheep, isn't it? All of his lambs. We who are those who are blessed with spiritual food in abundance. We quoted from that great chapter last week, didn't we? John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd. And he says there, amongst other things, I have come that they may have life, and life more abundantly. Abundantly. There is an abundance, you see, of these pastures of spiritual food that he leads us into. And of course, we have the Bible here, don't we, before us. And in this, we have the pastures of the Word, if we can call them that. 66 books, 66 pastures maybe we could think, the Old Testament passages, the New Testament passages of the Word. And they all come together to make most blessed soul nourishment for all of the Lord's flock. They're pastures of truth, pastures of great beauty, as we behold the Lord Jesus Christ in both the Old Testament and the New. There he is in the types and the shadows in the Old, and of course as we come to the New there are the four accounts of his life in the Gospels, the interpretation of his life in the epistles and the like. Now we behold, don't we, lush pastures of the magnificence of God in Jesus Christ, throughout the Bible. And we read, we have the pastures of plenty in verse 5 as well, albeit under a different image. Thou preparest a table before me. And taking the two together, perhaps in a, get that sense in which the Lord spreads his pastures before us. Those pastures of comfort, pastures of holiness, pastures of guidance when we need them. And we can go on and on, can't we, and think of the various kinds of pastures which are found within the Scriptures. But there's one thing which I would say before we move on, and that is simply that the moment a person is born of God, that moment they become, as it were, a newborn little lamb within Christ's flock. From that point, immediately, those wonderful pastures of the Word are ours. Places where our souls may feed on the views and the visions of God through Christ, his nature, his attributes, his great acts, of course his greatest act, salvation in the Gospel, and our hope of heaven is there as well. And so we can see that as Christians, as those who by grace are part of the flock of God, we are brought in by the Good Shepherd into these pastures. A great abundance is all around us. But moving on, secondly, because in this statement here, we're not just told of pastures, are we? We're told that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And the marginal reading supports the idea. It talks of pastures of tender grass. So the same thing, but the focus with the tender grass is more on texture, the tenderness of it, rather than the colour of it, the green pastures. So the point is this, as we've just thought, we've got this great quantity, haven't we? The pastures are there, but in this, our focus is more upon the quality. They are green, tender pastures. Delicious. Juicy. Easy to eat. Easy to digest. They are green, tender pastures. But let's stop and think for a moment. Now, what is green and tender grass? Of course, we have it all around us in Wales, don't we? It wasn't like that in the Mediterranean. When David wrote this psalm, they had to seek that out. And we just read in Ezekiel about the mountains, the high places on the mountains. That is very true. If you're going to find green grass, that's probably where you would need to go, often in those parts of the world. Remember when we were serving in Morocco, and perhaps you think of Morocco as being desert and barren, and camels and sand dunes all over the place, but actually it's not that way. In the south it might be, but in the north particularly there are some very high mountains, and they are green and lush. And I know that because when Q and I were actually transferring from Spanish Morocco to Morocco proper, I took the wrong bus, and a 50-mile journey took 4.5 hours, and the reason was it wended its way right up into these Jabala mountains. It's the most beautiful mountains I've ever seen in my life, despite the long journey. But the point is, in the high mountains, it is green and lush. And you could well imagine flocks being very contented in those sort of places. But the question is this: how are they green? How are they tender? Well, they are in that lovely condition simply because they are moist. They are in moist ground, and because of that, they are moist themselves, they're filled with life, they're filled with the sap of the grass. That's why they are green and tender. If I can give an example from another continent. Now, we're going to Korea. And I remember when I lived in Korea, during the winter months, it is very dry. It doesn't rain during the winter months really at all. It's blue sky all the time. Bitterly cold, the Siberian wind comes down. But you could see the grass that was in the summer months, which was very green, in the winter months it becomes yellowy, even becomes brown. It's not dead. In the summer it will come back again, but in the winter it is yellow and it is brown. And let's just imagine that we take in one hand a blade of this yellow browny grass from the Korean winter, but in the other hand we take a blade of very green lush grass like we have in our lawns in Wales. And you take both of these blades and you crush them between your fingers, you rub them together. What are you going to have? Well, the yellow brown one is probably going to crumble into dust, more or less, and you could blow it out of your hand. But the green blade, the moist one, you would rub it and you would get the moisture out. If you did it on your clothes, you would get grass stains, wouldn't you? But that's why it's green. That's why it is tender, because it is full of moist life. Well, bringing that into the spiritual realm, we can say this: that the pastures of the Word, these many pastures, they are green and tender pastures because they are Holy Spirit filled. The living water is within them. That is why they are green and tender, because the Spirit is in them. We'll, of course, focus more on the subject of the Holy Spirit next time we come to the still waters. But, you know, let's dwell for a moment and think of the Word, the Scriptures, enlivened by the Holy Spirit. The Word, if you like, be tendered or be greened by the Holy Spirit. That's what is in view, I think, here, spiritually. And that would remind us why, for the unbeliever, the worldly, for non-Christians, the Bible is like the Korean grass in winter. It is dry, it is lifeless. That's the way it is for those outside of the Christian faith, but sadly also for some Christians. Or they find that they come to the Scriptures and they do not seem to get very much from them either. And they can find the reading of the Bible dull, they find it dry, they're clearly not benefiting from the reading of the Scriptures. And there can be various reasons for this lack of spiritual moisture. For example, maybe they didn't seek the Holy Spirit's help. Sometimes we forget to do that. And it's always good, though, is it, to come to the Scriptures and every time to seek the help of the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit is given to us. He is with us. All Christians have the Holy Spirit. And He is there with us to bring the Word to life, to make it green, tender pasture for us. But sometimes we forget to do that, or we neglect to do that. And in order to teach us and remind us of our great need, you know, He will withdraw in a way from that, and we will find our Bible reading heavy going and dull. It won't be to us as green pastures. So there's a reason. And of course, there are other times when we have grieved the Holy Spirit. By our sins, we've gone into the paths of disobedience. We've transgressed. And that, of course, we need to repent of, that the Lord would return to us in that way, to brood over the pages of Scripture once more and make them the green pastures to us once again. And we need to ask the question, if indeed our hearing of the word, our reading of the Scriptures is dull and dry, you know, we need to ask ourselves honestly before the Lord, why is this the case? Why is this so? What has brought this about for our souls? Why are the pastures of the word lacking in the Holy Spirit moisture for us? Why are they like the brown winter grass of Korea? We need to seek, don't we, the Lord for an answer to that very crucial question, that we might know that, we might face up to it and confess it if necessary, that the Lord by his grace would remedy it. And we are brought once more to graze in the abundant green pastures of the Bible. And to know once more the Spirit and the Word enlivened by the Holy Spirit. So there's our second thought this evening. It is green pastures. But then, another thing here, a third thing. We are told, aren't we, that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. To lie down. So not just what we've thought about already, not just the case of the sheep being surrounded by the green pastures, as wonderful as that is, and consequently having them eat whenever they would want to eat with ease, but there's something else here. They are to remain there and come to rest therein. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. That's a lovely, idyllic sort of scene the Word of God brings to us. A classic pastoral scene, if you like. The lush green background upon the earth with well-fed, full-up sheep resting within that. It's a scene of peace. It's a scene of safety. The sheep may safely graze. Because, of course, if they were alarmed, they would not be lying down in the green pasture. Sometimes you go on a walk through a public footpath in the countryside. It leads you through a field of sheep. And as you open the gate or cross over the stile, you could see them all lying happily in the sun. They are well fed. But as soon as you come up close and start walking through the field, they become alarmed. They stand up, their ears prick up, their eyes are attentive, watching you. Some perhaps start to run away from you. But this isn't the way here. This isn't the picture we have here. They are lying down. They're not alarmed in any way. And that, of course, is because the shepherd is with them. He's able to make the sheep to graze in safety, to make them lie down in the green pastures safely. We thought about that last week, didn't we? The enemies of the flock, Satan, sin and the like. The shepherd has dealt with those enemies, and because of that we have this consequence. His sheep are able to lie down and rest in the green pastures. And so we have, yes, rest as well as feeding. But we have to say that, you know, the two are connected. They're not separate ideas in and of themselves, rest and feeding. Allow me to go to another country. I'm going all around the world tonight. Go to Spain now. I lived in Spain to serve the Lord in Spanish Morocco for 2.5 years. But I mention Spain because you may be aware that the Spanish, after eating a sizable lunch, will have what's called a siesta. They will sleep for a couple of hours in the later part of the afternoon. They've eaten well, and so they are able to sleep on a full stomach. And I think we can get some of the idea of that in our text as well. These sheep, they're in the green pastures. Obviously a place isn't of being able to eat, and to eat well, eat richly, eat as much as they wish, and now they're able to lie down and rest, and maybe even sleep there in the safety of the presence of the shepherd. And so it is spiritually. When the Christian is well fed on the spirit-infused word, the green pastures, then he is best able to rest and to be at peace in his soul, knowing that all his enemies have been defeated by the great and the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that is so, he can recite with David here, yes, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And how blessed is this reality to dwell upon a moment this evening in these turbulent and disturbing times, aren't they? We see many distressed, blown hither and thither, this way and that, tossed up and down, even in the professing church. And as Christians, we can be troubled by what we see, not only, of course, with the pandemic and everything that attends that, but the general state of our nation, morally, the lack of spirituality in our nation, in our lives, even in the church. You know, there are no lack of things, aren't they? The truth be known, to trouble us and to disturb us. But if this is so, when it is so, here we have a great help. We have a great pointer that our souls would return to rest in peace and to lie down in the spirit-filled pastures of God's word. And in order to do that, they must have fed well. Fed and filled their spiritual stomach, as it were, with the spirit-infused green pastures of the scriptures. And as a result of that, they are able to be at peace and to be calm, and they're able to lie down and to rest. But one final thing I would draw our attention to as we come towards the close of our thoughts this evening, and that comes out of the first two words here of verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. All this, we have said, is by the operation of God's shepherd, the good shepherd. He is the one that brings us to the green pastures. He brings us so that we can feed. He is the one that maketh me to lie down, to cause me to lie down. And sometimes, taking the language as we have it here, we need the Lord to make us lie down in the green pasture. You know, sometimes as Christians we're just restless, so busy, super, hyper active. Remember when I was a child, my mother quite often used to say to me, Paul, you can never sit still. Sort of always up and down, here, there. And but there are times, you know, when as Christians, you know, the Lord would say, take to us, you just can't sit still. But we need to be still before God. We need to be still and to lie down in the green pastures. And thinking of this, my mind went to the New Testament scene in the Gospels, where we have the two sisters, don't we, Martha and Mary. And Martha is very, very busy in all the practical preparations with having Jesus there in the house. And we can't criticize her for that, really. It was good that she should serve the Lord in that way. The problem arose that she was critical of her sister. But then we have her sister Mary. What do we read of her? Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And do we not have in that a perfect picture of what our text brings before us this evening? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There she was. She was lying down. She was at the feet, as it were, of the good shepherd himself. Listening to his word. Hanging on every syllable that came out of those grace-filled lips of Christ. She was feeding. She was resting in the green and tender pasture. But dear Martha was all so busy and so het up, and she needed to perhaps learn that, and the Lord to make her lie down in the green pastures. And we too also, we need to learn at times to just calm ourselves, to be still, and to know that He is God. And in the light of that, to be at peace and to lie down in those green pastures. And He will at times cause that to take place when we are not able to do that in and of ourselves. And that reminds us of His skill as a shepherd, bringing us to those places that we've seen, bringing us to be able to lie down and rest in them. But also by means of His skill and ability as a shepherd, at times He will take a lamb, perhaps He will extend the staff with a crook in it, and gently bring a sheep or a lamb to Him close, and there the lamb will sort of try and get up again and make its way, and He'll take it back, and even perhaps He will forcibly, not harshly, but gently, but firmly restrain it and cause it to lie down in the green pastures. But of course, in all this, we see most wonderfully, don't we, the love He has as the good and the great shepherd. For this is evidence of His kind and superabundant care for the lambs, for the sheep of His flock. And so we see these things this evening, I trust. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, the pastures of the Word, which are green and tender through the Holy Spirit moisture within them. And there we not only feed in abundance, but having fed, we rest and we lie down. And sometimes He has to make us do that. But all this is because of His wonderful kind love and His great skill. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Amen.
Amen.